And welcome in to Red Sox Review. I am your host, John Lyons. Red Sox lose to the Toronto Blue Jays today, 5-3. They are now 41-44 on the season. They have lost 7 of their last 8 games, 3 straight series losses. The bad news is just adding up for our Boston Red Sox. If you want to talk about it, between now and 6 p.m., I will be here, 617-779-7937. That is the call line and the text line here on WEEI. And again, a frustrating afternoon for the Red Sox once again. And I think this is another one of those games that we're going to look back on as potentially one that got away. Like, if we get to the end of the season and the Red Sox are sitting in fourth place in the AL East and they're 5 or 6 games out of the wild card, we're going to look at games like today, last Saturday, the 3-2 loss in San Francisco, the extra inning loss to the Angels earlier this week. We're going to be looking at games like this, games that they got 8 hits, they got plenty of base runners, but we saw them strand runners on third base in the 5th and 6th inning. We saw Walker Buehler with another dismal outing for the starting rotation. Really, the starting rotation outside of Garrett Crochet has been all over the place. They've had plenty of quality starts, and then they've had plenty of really bad starts. And unfortunately for Walker Buehler, he's had quite a few of the bad starts, especially in the month of June. I mean, today, Walker Buehler, 4 innings pitched, 3 hits, 5 runs, all of them earned, 7 walks, excuse me, not 7 walks today, I was reading the wrong line there. But Walker Buehler today, he throws 4 innings once again, and he gives up those 2 home runs back-to-back early on in the game. And this was one of those moments where in that first inning, Addison Barger has the home run. Next pitch, Vlad Jr. hits one over the monster, and you're just feeling like, oh, here we go again. And then the second and third inning, he gets through him. And then that top of the fourth inning, I mean, he gets a great diving catch from Sadan Rafaela, who, by the way, is playing really well in center field and wherever he plays defensively. But then you look at it, he gets to the bottom of the order, and it's an infield single with 2 outs, then a walk with 2 outs, then the 7-hole hitter Jimenez, RBI single. So it's 3-2 Toronto. The Red Sox had previously tied it. Then another walk. Then a bases loaded walk forces in a run, and it's 4-2. Thankfully for Buehler, Carlos Narvaez had a pickoff throw to first base to end that inning. But again, another tough outing from Walker Buehler. I mean, coming into this game, he had 4 starts in the month of June, and he had given up 23 runs, 21 of them earned. And then, of course, today, again, those 2 home runs early, then he gives up 2 more runs, doesn't make it into the 5th inning. They go in the 5th inning and give up another run, Zach Kelly does. And then bottom, you know, the Red Sox try to battle back, bottom of the 5th inning, Romy Gonzalez has that RBI double, cuts the lead to 5-3. Roman Anthony has that single, which it's tough, right? Because in that moment, it hits off the wall. But I understand that you can't, if you're Romy Gonzalez, it looked like that ball was going to be caught, so he doesn't advance. So you have first, despite it hitting off the wall, you have first and second there. And then you get it to second and third, and what happens? Abreu pops out. Narvaez grounds out, and even in my notes right there, I wrote right below it, missed opportunity for the Red Sox. And then the bottom of the 6th, right? So next inning, so bottom of the 5th, you have guys on 2nd and 3rd, 1 out, you get nothing out of it. Bottom of the 6th, Duran has a triple, his 9th triple of the season, tied for the Major League lead. Rafaela grounds out to 3rd. I mean, if Rafaela had grounded out to 2nd or short, that run probably scores. They had the infield back, but he grounds out to 3rd, so the run can't score there. Then you have Toro comes up as a pinch hitter, actually gets hit by a pitch. So now you have 1st and 3rd, albeit 2 outs, and then Sogard grounds out. So you waste back-to-back innings opportunities with men on 3rd. Neither one of them scores, right? And of course, obviously in the 5th, you had 2nd and 3rd. And after that, it was pretty quiet for the Red Sox. They did get a leadoff walk by Narvaez in the bottom of the 8th. Story did move him over with a ground out, but then they got back-to-back lineouts from Duran and Rafaela in the bottom of the 9th. 3 straight strikeouts to end this game for the Red Sox. So again, one of those afternoons where it started poorly with Walker Buehler. You had a little bit of hope there. Again, the Red Sox tie it 2-2 on that Rafaela double. course, that was after a Narvaez solo homer. So the Red Sox do tie it up, and then Buehler goes out and gives up two more runs, 4-2. Zach Kelly gives up another run on an RBI single. It's 5-2. And not that 5-2 is insurmountable, but it was like, oh, it's another one of these games. And then the Red Sox, especially after that fifth inning, second and third, one out, you get nothing. It just, you had a bad feeling about this one pretty much the entire game. And again, Red Sox now 41-44, three straight series losses. They've lost 7 out of 8 games overall. The Yankees game just went final. So the Red Sox are now 8 games back of the Yankees for the lead in the AL East as we sit here on June 29th. We're still waiting for a final score on the Seattle Mariners game. This loss, as of right now, drops the Red Sox 2.5 games behind them in the wild card for that final wild card spot. We'll see if Seattle is able to win that game. Last I checked, it was 1-1 in the 8th inning. Number here is 617-779-7937. I see some of you already lined up on the phone lines and the text lines. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back. We're going to get to Alex Cora's post-game press conference. We're going to get to your phone calls. And oh, by the way, Craig Breslow had an in-game interview with Dave O'Brien and the Nesson crew during the second inning of this game. Said some pretty interesting things, and credit to Dave O'Brien for asking some tough questions, but he said some pretty interesting things to me. We're going to get to that later on in the program as well. Again, I'm your host, John Lyons. This is Red Sox Review. We'll be right back with your calls. That was Walker Buehler walking in the fourth Toronto run of the day. Cooper Boardman on the call, by the way. Cooper's been doing a great job getting some run with the Red Sox broadcast team. Fortunately, he didn't have much great action to call today. Again, Walker Buehler, just to review here, in the month of June, so today was his fifth start in the month of June, 1-3 record. He has an ERA over 11. He's thrown 20 1/3 innings, 17 strikeouts, 17 walks, 7 home runs allowed. And you just go back through some of these starts. I mean, they have a 9-6 loss to the Yankees where he gives up 5 earned runs, 7 total runs, 5 earned. Then he has an outing against Tampa Bay where through 7 innings only gave up 3 earned runs. You know, quality start. He's pretty good in that game. And then Seattle, the Red Sox lose 8-0, 3 1/3 innings, 8 runs, 4 walks. Then the Angels earlier this week, 4 innings, 5 runs, 7 walks. And today, we saw it as soon as the game started. I mean, top of the first, he strikes out Bo Bichette to start the game. He's throwing strikes, all right? And then Addison Barger takes him down the right field line deep, 1-0 Toronto. Next pitch, Vlad Jr. hits it over the monster, 2-0 Toronto. And you're like, oh, geez, here we go again. And then he got through the second and third, which has kind of been his MO. Like, he'll have a really bad first inning. His first inning ERA is, I think after today, pushing 11. It's over 10. I think it's pushing 11. And then he'll be okay second and third inning. And then as the game goes on, if he's still in after that, he gets worse again. And that happened once again today. Again, bad first inning. Got through the second and third inning pretty clean, right? That third inning, 1-2-3 inning. And then top of the fourth, again, he gets a great diving catch from Sadan Rafaela on a Vlad Jr. blooper to center field. And then he gets to the middle to late part of the Blue Jays order, their number 5 hitter. You have an infield single. All this with 2 outs, by the way. Then he walks the number 6 hitter. Then the number 7 hitter, Jimenez, RBI single, 3-2 Toronto. And that was, by the way, on a 3-2 count after Buehler had started out that at bat 3-0. And he battled back to get it 3-2, but he put himself in a 3-0 hole, threw something over the plate on a 3-2 count. Boom, RBI single, Blue Jays lead. Then he has another walk to the number 8 hitter. And then the number 9 hitter, he walks again. 4-2. I was actually surprised Alex Cora left him in at that point. And thankfully for Buehler, Narvaez had a really nice pickoff throw to first base. Toronto challenged it. The out was upheld, and they got out of the inning. But still, the Red Sox did all this work. Bottom of the second, Narvaez solo homer down the right field line to cut it to 2-1. And then you have Story singling, Rafaela doubles. And actually, this is after Story stole second base. So they do all this work to tie it up 2-2. In that bottom of the second inning, and then, of course, they give the lead back in the top of the fourth not long later. Zach Kelly comes in, gives up a run in the fifth. It's 5-3 at that point, excuse me. So it's just another one of those games where you get a poor start from Walker Buehler, And you're looking back on it as, man, if we just got better starting pitching as the Boston Red Sox, more timely hitting, right? They came into this weekend 22nd in the majors, average-wise, with runners in scoring position. And again, in the fifth, you have guys on second and third, can't get them in. Duran hits a triple in the sixth with one out, can't get them in. Right? Runners in scoring position, you can't get guys in. So, again, another one of those, just like the extra inning game against the Angels last Saturday against the Giants, another one of those games that got away. And as they sit here at 41-44, 8 games out of first place in the AL East, and I think on the verge of being 3 games out in the wild card behind Seattle. I'm just waiting on that final score there. I'm just checking to see if it's come up. I got nothing yet. But once that game, if Seattle wins that game, there'll be 3 games. So I just think if you're the Red Sox, you're in a really bad spot right now. And I know I'm stating the obvious, but you're in a really bad spot right now. I see the phone lines are lined up right now. We are going to get to Alex Cora's post-game press conference in just a few minutes, but I want to hit the phone lines first. Let's start with Bob in Warwick. Bob, welcome into the program. What do you got for us?
Yeah, okay, John. Well, Terry Francona is coming in tomorrow night with the Reds.
He certainly is.
Now that's a manager for you. Cora doesn't stack up with him, period. When are they going to get rid of Cora? You know why they're not? Because Henry's too cheap. He doesn't want to pay anybody new to be the manager. He would rather see Cora so he doesn't have to pay two guys. Cora's remaining salary and then a new manager.
Yeah, Bob, thanks for the call. And look, it's easy to pin all this blame on Alex Cora, and I think he deserves some of the blame here. And we're going to get to a quote Craig Breslow had later on where he talked about some of the issues they've had developing players in the minor leagues, which on the surface might sound weird because they had 3 top 25 prospects coming into the season, including the number 1 overall prospect in Roman Anthony. But as we've seen time after time after time, these young prospects have come up to the Red Sox and they've either made fielding errors or base running errors, or they can't hit in key situations when they need to. It's that old adage where they can do a lot of things on the baseball field, but can they actually play baseball well? And we've seen time and again, a lot of these young players don't do a good job of that. And I think, so that part of it, I don't really blame Cora for. What I blame Cora for is year after year after year, even with guys that have been up here, we see them still making either base running mistakes or fielding mistakes. I mean, they got through the game with no errors today, and I think Rafaela has been a really good defender, and Abreu has been a good defender, won the Gold Glove last year. But specifically in their infield, we've seen a lot of problems there. And some of it's on the front office and the players they give him, but it's just when you see it year after year after year with vet guys, or how about in Roman Anthony's very first game, let's remember, he had that fielding error. The Red Sox also screwed up the infield fly rule right in that game. Like, that to me is also on the manager. So I know it's easy to blame Cora for all of it. I blame him for some of it. I think it's also a bigger organizational issue right now. But today, Cora, to me, the questionable decision today was, as I mentioned a little while ago, Walker Buehler forces in a run on a walk with the bases loaded to give Toronto a 4-2 lead, and Cora left him in. And it was pretty risky, and he had Bernardino up in the bullpen at that time. Eventually, Zach Kelly came in the fifth. And I know Narvaez made it work out by getting that pickoff throw to first base, but still, that to me, that was a questionable decision, because even at that point, hey, it's a 4-2 game. You're in it. You had just scored a couple of the runs a couple innings earlier. So why leave a guy in that can't throw strikes? And again, Narvaez kind of bailed him out with a great play there. Let's go back to the phones. Rick in Salem. Rick, welcome into the program. What do you got?
What's going on, brother? Brother, listen, they should have skipped his start today. Crochet should have pitched. Yes, you got a way of trying to win 2 out of 3. Ready? Buehler should be DFA'd. They shouldn't even run him out there again. He's been horrible. Listen, you can't keep running. You're trying to stay in this wild card race. You can't keep sending this guy out there. He's getting his ears beaten every time he comes out there, John.
Yeah, Rick, thanks for the call, and you're 100% right. I mean, like I said, in June, he has 5 starts, and his ERA is over 11. And I do wonder, with Tanner Houck seeming like he is closer to returning, is that going to open the door to either move Buehler to the bullpen, release him altogether. You know, he is a DFA candidate right now. And it's a really unfortunate thing because last year when Buehler came back during the regular season, he had an ERA in the fives. But then in the playoffs, he pitched much better, right? He had an ERA in the threes, pitched well in the World Series, got the final out of the World Series in Yankee Stadium. And when they signed him, look, it wasn't like they signed Max Fried or they signed Corbin Burns or they pulled off a trade for Dylan Cease in addition to Crochet. It wasn't this 1A or legit number two starter, but I think a lot of people liked the signing, myself included, because he did have that World Series experience, right? This guy won two championships with the Dodgers, and I remember when they signed him, I felt, hey, that can be beneficial for a pitching staff that has a lot of young guys. Even Crochet, their ace, is a guy in his mid-20s who pitched for the White Sox who were terrible. So, you know, no postseason experience there. Hauk, Bayo, like these younger guys, not really any postseason experience in your starting pitching staff and really not that much in your bullpen. I thought Buehler would be really beneficial for that, especially in the rotation. But the problem is that experience doesn't help you if you're going out and getting smoked every single time you're on the mound, right? Like the experience and knowing how to prepare and knowing what it takes to win in October doesn't really help you if you're going to be out of the wild card race in August. And it's unfortunate that it's come to this, but I look at Buehler now, and if Hauk is ready to come back, and frankly, even if he's not and they can find some sort of solution, I think he's maybe a bullpen candidate right now at best. And obviously it's going to come down to roster management and what they want to do, and he looks like a DFA candidate, really. But I think maybe a bullpen option at best. But all the things we are hopeful for with Buehler have not panned out at all. Again, I mean, an ERA over 11 in the month of June is crazy. I mean, then even at the end of May, his last start in May, on May 31st, he threw 5 2/3 innings against the Braves, 10 hits, 5 runs allowed. So even at the end of May, he had a bad start at the end of May. He's been terrible in June, and he's just gotten worse as the season has gone on. Let's keep on the phones here. Let's go to Paul in Westfield. Paul, welcome in. What do you got for us?
John, I got a fair and balanced opinion based upon what you just said.
All right, Paul, what do you got? Let's hear it, Paul.
Well, with an 11 ERA in the first inning and getting shelled, Buehler is held nearby, sent to detention. And the opposite would be putting him in the ninth relief where his first inning, he gives up, like you said, so many runs, you lose count. And in a good sense, they did yank him in the fourth, although, like you said, maybe one run too early. They got him out at 72 pitches because they recognized he didn't have his stuff. Maybe it was smoking hot. Maybe he was dehydrated. On a good note, Narvaez, our catcher, hit our first home run. We saw Rafael run from the outfield to the corner. Jackie Bradley Jr. used to do that. And here's the food for thought. We don't know all the conditions, and here's a perfect example. Chris Sale, when we let him go, he said he'll probably win the Cy Young. He did. We just let Priester go. You know, Priester is now 6 wins in a row and gave up a one-hit game yesterday. And they're saying in the back room that you can study dynamics and numbers and spin rate, but you sometimes can't let the computer and the graph overtake the pitcher's natural, what you call a flow and natural couture, like Priester found somewhere else. So we'll figure out the problem and find the angle. But this is the ending point. You don't book the Titanic cruise through Bermuda Triangle and blame Cora. Imagine what Cora's going through and pulling his hair out with the way they just dump in every possible angle, 2 innings in a row, 2 on, and we get nothing to show. I mean, my God, son, this has got to change.
Yeah, I appreciate the call. And like I said, I there is some blame, I think, on Cora for the year-to-year fielding base running mistakes, including with veterans. But I don't look at him as the primary issue. And I'm not telling you he's had a great year. He hasn't. But I don't look at him as the primary issue. I look at it as, you know, you trade Rafael Devers and you get 4 guys back and none of them are helping you right now at the major league level. You bring in 2 pitchers this offseason. One of them is a Cy Young candidate in Garrett Crochet. The other one in Buehler, unfortunately, is a DFA candidate, right? So you're 1-for-2 there. And another guy, Hauk, you were hoping would be good, especially after the first half of the season he had last year, was abysmal, and then he got hurt. And we'll see, you know, how he is when he comes back. The Quinn Priester point, by the way, oh, that's a good one. 6-2, 3.35 ERA, 61 strikeouts so far this year for the Milwaukee Brewers. But speaking of Alex Cora, I know there are some of you on the phone line. Stay with us, but we do have to go to Alex Cora. This is the Red Sox manager right after the game today.
I mean, that inning, we had two outs, right? To get a single, and then after that, you know, we couldn't find the strike zone. And you walk. Three guys there. They scored. Narvi made a great play with Bo at the plate. So, you know, that last inning, you know, we have to be more efficient. I mean, he was actually efficient in the beginning, right? We got the two plays, you know, by Sedan and then Trevor. But, you know, after that, he just kind of lost it.
Especially in the middle, late innings, some opportunities.
A lot of them.
Second, and third with one out.
Yeah, I mean, you have to cash in. Obviously, Willie got a middle sinker, 2-0, that he missed it. You know, Sedan kind of hit the ball hard to third base. We had a chances. You know, the line was actually moving today. I thought the quality of the bats were good. We just didn't cash in.
You have to start thinking about Walker's spot rotation.
Not right now. Not right now. Yeah.
How's Kelly?
Just tight. You know, I just talked to Brandon, probably MRI tomorrow, see where we at. Hopefully nothing serious.
With the rotation generally, how would you describe the state of the rotation depth at this moment with obviously some guys still injured?
You just said it, you know. We got a lot of people hurt, you know, so we just got to get healthy.
Just take you through what you saw from Narvaez today, both with the home run and also with his pickoff play.
Yeah, I mean, very aware of the game, especially defensively. He knows sometimes that, you know, he needs to help the pitcher. And he saw a window there with Heinemann and made a great throw. Offensively, he's been solid. You know, obviously, lately, not as hot as he was early, but he's still putting good at-bats. The homer, the walk, you know, he's still a good at-bat for us.
That was Red Sox manager Alex Cora after the game. Headliner for me, when he was asked about Walker Buehler's spot in the rotation and whether he would reconsider it, his quote was, "Not right now." And again, we're talking when it comes to Buehler, I mentioned this a little while earlier. His first inning ERA over 10, second inning ERA 4.5, third inning under 1, but then fourth inning, it's almost 15, and fifth inning, it's 5.5. So we're seeing a guy that's struggling early in games, struggling to get through the fourth inning. And we saw it again today. He's been, and this is not hyperbole, he's been one of the worst starting pitchers in the majors in the month of June. I mean, his ERA is over 11. I can't think of anyone worse. I mean, call line and text line. If you have anybody worse in the month of June, I can't think of it. So it's a major problem right now. And Craig Breslow had some interesting quotes in the second inning. He was part of the Nesson broadcast during the second inning. He had some interesting quotes about their minor league development system, but he also had some quotes about the rotation and what he's considering doing as the trade deadline approaches. I'm going to get to that coming up next. I see some of you still lined up on the phone line. Stay with us. We just got to take a quick break. I will get back to your phones. I'm going to get to Breslow's comments as well. Before we do any of that, it's time to trend with Tom Crisafulli. Back here on Red Sox Review on WEEI, I'm John Lyons. That was Red Sox Chief Baseball Officer Craig Breslow interviewed on Nesson during the second inning. Talked about their issues in the rotation outside of Garrett Crochet. Talked about how they're going to be aggressive as they approach the trade deadline. We'll see if that ends up being true. And it's something that Walker Buehler, after the game, he was asked if he felt he was fighting for his spot in the rotation, and he was pretty candid. He said he thinks he's fighting for his spot in the game. There's not a lot of places for a 7 ERA pitcher in the big leagues, and I think he's right. And again, this is a signing that up to this point has not worked out, and I think it's at the point where you just can't keep putting Walker Buehler out there every 5 days. Through the month of June, it's been essentially a scheduled loss. Really, since the end of May, that May 31st outing against Atlanta, it's been essentially a scheduled loss every time you put Walker Buehler out there. Let's go back to the phones here. Let's go to Mike in Buffalo on the Red Sox pitching staff. Mike, welcome in. What do you got for us?
Yeah, well, can we have enough of this guy now? I mean, you know, enough after a while to me is enough. He's not going to come out and spin a two-hitter next time or do what he's going to. The guy does not have it anymore. And anybody that calls into your program and says, well, he's just having it. No, the guy doesn't have it anymore. And, you know, the numbers back it up for runs, 5-5-3-8-5 and whatever he gave up today. I mean, get him out of there now. Enough is enough. I've had enough of this guy. He just doesn't have it anymore. He's not going to come out and pitch a two-hitters next time, I don't think. Thanks a lot.
Yeah, Mike, appreciate the call. And, you know, it's an unfortunate reality. It feels that way. Like I said, previous segment, I think at best, Walker Buehler right now is a bullpen arm somehow. But even that, I mean, if you bring Houck back, depending on how you manage the roster, and we'll see, Zach Kelly did leave the game today with what looked like an oblique or back-type injury, you might not have room to have Buehler in your bullpen. He might be a DFA candidate. And it's again, this is a guy that when they signed him, you were hoping, when I say you, I mean Red Sox fans, myself included, you were hoping that that World Series run that he had and that ERA in the threes in the playoffs was going to be the guy you were going to get this year. That he'd have an ERA between, say, maybe 3.5 to 4 most of the year, be a third or fourth starter, and really help out, much in the way that you were hoping Alex Bregman would help out in the lineup, with that championship experience, right? Show the younger pitchers, especially guys like Bayo and Houck, how to prepare, how to be guys that are going to be available for the long haul. Again, both of those guys have tailed off at the end of seasons in recent years. But that experience doesn't do you any good when, to the caller's point, you're giving up 5 runs, 8 runs, 5 runs, 4 more today, including a walk with the bases loaded, right? Going back to May 31st, 5 runs that day. And he's gotten worse. I mean, his ERA over 11 in the month of June. Let's go to Mike in Connecticut. Mike, welcome into the program.
Thank you, John. John, let's just break down this team a little if we could.
Sure.
Except for Groshay, the starting pitching is below average, right?
I would think it's worse than below average. I mean, it's been so inconsistent, okay, too, Mike. They've had these good outings and then bad outings. I was trying to be nice. Yeah.
The defense is putrid.
Oh, one of the worst in the league.
The base running is pathetic. The base running is pathetic. They have nobody in that lineup now that scares you whatsoever now that Devers is gone. John, it's almost getting to be comical. They had this Freezer kid. He was the number one pick. They didn't even give him a chance. They get rid of him. They basically got nothing for him. I mean, I don't know who's worse, Breslow or Cora, but this team needs a major shakeup, John. Just get Epstein back to running the team. I mean, it's almost comical. When you think about how bad they are, it's amazing they're only 3 games under 500.
Yeah, it's honestly, Mike, thanks for the call. It's a great point. When you look at some of the games they've had, some of the stretches they've had, I mean, when they traded Devers, they were coming off a sweep. They were going to be a wild card team. That's the way things are trending. And then, you know, obviously they've, they're now 4-11 or whatever since Devers. I don't have the exact numbers in front, but they've stumbled since Devers got traded. They lost 6 in a row, 7 out of their last 8. They did have the win yesterday. But the point about the lineup is a good one, too, because I've spent most of this show focusing on the pitching staff and specifically Buehler and the starting pitching staff. But this lineup, I think, is really deceptive. And what I mean by that is if you look at the raw numbers, and shout out to Tom Karen of Nesson, he had this stat today. If you look at the raw numbers coming into today, the Red Sox were 4th in the American League, 396 runs. So on the surface, sounds pretty good. The issue is, out of that 396, they've scored 140 of those in just 11 games. They have 11 games with 10-plus runs. And, of course, remember, they had that 18-run game against St. Louis in April. They had a 19-run game as well. I think that was against Baltimore. So they had, 15 runs yesterday. So they've had 11 of these games where they've had 10 or more runs. And as you can imagine, in those games, they're 11-0. In all the other games, they're averaging just over 3 runs a game, and they're 30-43. And if you count today, 30-44 in games where they don't score at least 10 runs. So the lineup part, and I think if you watch the Red Sox every day, you see it with their lineup, how they're terrible hitting with runners in scoring position. They don't run the bases well on top of it. And they're just not a lot of power in that lineup, especially with Devers gone. So if you watch them consistently, you can kind of see that. But I think, again, the numbers on the Red Sox lineup are really deceptive. Because, again, 396 runs coming into the today. Fourth in the AL. 140 of those in 11 games. Shout out to Tom Caron for that stat, because I think that, to me, really expresses kind of what you've seen. You know, you see these games where they have an 18-run explosion or a 15-run explosion, or they score 11 runs. And then you see a bunch of other games where, like today, you have eight hits, but then in the fifth and sixth inning, back-to-back, you have guys on third and you can't drive them in. Right? Or you see other games. Last Saturday, you lose 3-2 in San Francisco, and it feels like you just can get nothing going offensively in that game. And you see a lot of those games, right? I mean, even you look at some of Buehler's starts. Seattle, the Red Sox lose 8-0. Now, Buehler gave up 8 runs, don't get me wrong. He was the main reason they lost. But they also got shut out in that game. You look at the game that he lost to Atlanta in May. He gave up 5 runs. He was bad. But the Red Sox also got shut out. So even when their starting pitching has been good with Crochet, he hasn't gotten consistent run support. So it's just something that I think the lineup, especially since Devers gone, the numbers are totally deceptive, but that hasn't been good enough. And Craig Breslow says they're going to be aggressive. I think it's not being aggressive at the trade deadline is what we should be focusing on. They should be aggressive now. As I said, six losses in a row this week, 7 out of their last 8, including today. And yesterday, as Rob Bradford told all of us, was the 7th anniversary of the Steve Pierce trade, guy who won World Series MVP. So you can make early trades. Remember a couple of years ago, the Padres traded for Luis Arraez. I think that was in mid-May. So I don't think the time to be aggressive is the trade deadline. I think the time to be aggressive is now. I mean, it's June 29th. A couple days from now, we're going to be staring July 1st right in the face. And then July 4th. And then before you know it, the All-Star game. And then before you know it, the trade deadline is already upon you. I think now is the time to do it, as you are now 8 games behind the New York Yankees. That Seattle Mariners game went to extra innings, so you're right now 2.5 behind them, depending on the outcome for the final wild card spot. And we've seen, you know, in the moments they get good pitching, they haven't got timely hitting. There's games where they'll score maybe 5 or 6 runs and give up 8, right? So I think you look at the Buehler spot in the rotation, but it's not just the spot for Walker Buehler. I mean, you came into this season hoping Crochet would be an ace, and he has been an ace. He's been tremendous. And then you were hoping that Tanner Houck would be like the guy you saw in the first half of last season. I mean, last year in May, we were talking about a guy that, you know, had Cy Young aspirations, and he kind of fell off the second half of the year. Felt like he never recovered from that All-Star game home run he gave up to Shohei Ohtani. But falls off the second half of the year. But you were hoping, okay, this year he's been through a full season already, so this year he can give you a full year of quality pitching. And he was bad and then got hurt. And Brian Bello, to his credit, has been better in the month of June, but he had a poor start to the season. And Buehler had a better start to the season than Bello, say, or than he's been now, but he's been terrible in the month of June. He's unpitchable. So you're looking at this rotation, and beyond Garrett Crochet, you just have a bunch of question marks. And someone earlier mentioned Quinn Priester. That's a guy you traded Nick York for. And I know Nick York had some ups and downs in the minors, but he was at least a reasonably well-thought-of prospect. And then you let Priester go for basically nothing, and now he's pitching really well. 3.35 ERA for the Brewers, 6-2. I mean, how about having that guy in your rotation? Should I even mention Nate Eovaldi in Texas, or how about Nick Pivetta in San Diego, how well those guys have pitched? So I think when you're Craig Breslow, the time to be aggressive is not the trade deadline. I think the time to be aggressive is right now. He even mentioned on Nesson, well, we have this financial flexibility to take on contracts after the Devers trade. That was another quote of his. Okay, so you can take on a big contract. Well, you're not going to sign any free agents now. So the only way to take on a big contract is to trade for one. And he also mentioned that they have a deep prospect pool, which is true. Right, you had 3 prospects in the top 25 in Meyer, Anthony, and Campbell. 2 of them are with the big club right now. I'm assuming Campbell will be back at some point this year. But even beyond that, you have a really deep farm system. So you have the money to take on contracts. You have the guys that other teams want. I think now is the time to be aggressive. Otherwise, I think they're going to get to a point where the end of the season, they're going to be 8 or 9 or 10 games out of the wild card hunt. And we're going to be looking at another failed season. I mean, this is a team last year, Don't forget, folks, last year the Red Sox went 81-81, yet at the All-Star game they were 10 games over 500. So really, this year's team, up to this point, despite having Crochet, despite having Aroldis Chapman, despite having a month and a half of Alex Bregman, is worse off than they were a year ago. And some of that, yes, is on the manager. Some of that's on the front office. And also some of it, too, let's be honest, is on the players themselves. Right? They have not been good enough, top to bottom. Whether it's, you know, the rotation outside of Crochet, the lineup outside of Bregman when he was healthy. I mean, even Jared Duran, All-Star Game MVP last year, led the majors in doubles and triples, was hitting in the 280s. That's a guy last year, honestly, Jared Duran was a top 20 player in baseball last year. Top 25 at worst. Now we're talking about a guy who's hitting in the 250s. Still has 9 triples tied for the league lead, but not the same player that we saw a year ago. And there's been extra pressure because of Duran not being as good, Abreu being out for part of the year, Devers getting traded, Casas being out. There's been extra pressure put on guys like Roman Anthony and Marcelo Meyer. And these are guys that should be, yes, on the major league roster, but you should be able to kind of work their way in, especially a guy as young as Anthony, right? We're talking a 21-year-old guy. You should be able to work those guys in, but instead, some of it's because of injuries, some of it's because poor performance, some of it's because a major trade without a real, seems like, backup plan after you traded Devers. Now you're at a point where you have to rely on those guys, and it puts them in an unfair spot. And you're facing a team coming up in the Cincinnati Reds. You got Chase Burns versus Crochet tomorrow. That should be an awesome game, you hope. But it's a Reds team that, I mean, I don't know. The way the Red Sox are playing, I'm not going to be surprised if the Reds come in here and sweep the Red Sox, or at least take 2 out of 3. You know, we'll see. July 2nd, the Red Sox are celebrating the 50th anniversary of their 1975 team. And I think the mood in the ballpark, it should be a fun night to celebrate that team. The mood in the ballpark is probably going to be frustration more than anything else. Because no matter what, the Red Sox will be under 500 that night, even if they win the both games heading into. So I think if you're, again, the Red Sox right now, it's not wait for the trade deadline or wait for the All-Star break. I think this is the time to be aggressive. I mean, we saw it with Devers. They traded Devers in June. And I'm sure a lot of us out there, myself included, have some criticisms of the Devers trade. You know, I wasn't the biggest Devers supporter. I thought he was really selfish with the third base, first base, and all that stuff. But still, if you're going to trade a guy who's a top 10 hitter in the league, you should get at least a couple guys back that can help your major league team now. And instead, again, Kyle Harrison could be a very good player in the future. I think that's a legit possibility that he ends up being a really good pitcher at 23 years old right now. James Tibbs was a first-round pick. He could end up being a really good player. Both of those guys aren't helping you until 2026 or 2027. So the only real guy you got back to help you, and of course Jose Bello might never help you, and if he does, it's probably going to be 4 years from now. The only guy you got back to potentially help you this year is Jordan Hicks, who's going to be a bullpen arm. Right? Had an ERA over 6 in the Giants rotation. So the time to be aggressive is not 2 weeks from now. It's now. And we'll see if Craig Breslow actually does it, because it feels like after the Devers trade, yeah, they get away from the contract. Yeah, they got a couple nice prospects. Didn't get anything to help the major league team right now. And you would think that when you move off a guy like Devers, if you don't get anyone to help the major league team, you would have some sort of backup plan to help the major league team with another move. And that hasn't happened. I mean, they traded Devers 2 weeks ago today, and they haven't done anything else since then, and they've really struggled since. I mean, they're under 3 runs a game since Devers left, and that doesn't even account for, again, all the starting pitching struggles that they've had. We're going to take a look around the MLB coming up next. More of your phone calls as well, 617-779-7937, phone line and text line. And I am going to get to a very interesting quote from Craig Breslow talking about not so much the major league team now, but their organization as a whole and one flaw that he has seen in it. So that's all coming up right after this. Back here on WEEI, this is Red Sox Review. I'm your host, John Lyons. And that quote you just heard was from Craig Breslow. He joined the Nesson booth in the second inning. And of all the things he said, this stood out to me most. And the pieces he said about wanting to be aggressive in the trade market and needing to improve starting pitching are important. But this stood out to me the most because the Red Sox have essentially built their identity over the last 5 years on being a team that's going to develop a bunch of prospects. And they want to have some sort of loaded system with young players like the Houston Astros have built or the Dodgers have built, obviously without spending the money the Dodgers spend. We know the Sox aren't going to do that. But they have built their identity for 5 years on the kids, right? How many times have we heard about the kids, the kids, the kids, the prospects, the prospects, the prospects? That's what we've heard about. And now the chief baseball officer is sitting there on a game broadcast saying, hey, I don't know if these guys are actually getting here ready to go. And look, we know no prospect is going to come up fully ready to go. I get that, right? Doesn't matter who you are. When you get to the big leagues, there's obviously going to be some things to learn. And for the vast majority of guys, there is an adjustment period, right? Very few guys come up and are good right away. But him saying that really stood out to me because, A, I think it's honest and it's true. But you look at these guys, again, they might have great launch angles. They have great measurables. They hit home runs. And they might even put up good stats in the minor leagues. And we saw Roman Anthony was tearing the cover off the ball down in Worcester. But they come up and they're, in a lot of cases, not fully ready to actually play baseball. And we see Roman Anthony has looked, you know, you've seen flashes of it, right? Three hits yesterday, another hit today. You've seen flashes of Roman Anthony looking like the best prospect in baseball. But then you've also seen him make some errors. You've seen him, you know, you've seen him, all right, is this guy fully ready? Christian Campbell. We saw him the first couple weeks of the season. You're like, oh, wow, this guy is going to be, you know, the second baseman. He's awesome. And then we saw him struggle a bunch at the plate, make a bunch of fielding errors. Think back to when Tristan Casas first came up. Right? I know he showed a ton of promise as a hitter early on, but think about how much of an adventure it was for him at first base when he first came up. Right? We saw Rafael Devers come up as a third baseman being bad, and he never got better, which is also partly on him. And I think, you know, Duran, think about how much Jaron Duran struggled back in 2022, right, early on. You thought, oh, this guy doesn't get it. This guy's not going to be a piece of the team. And he's gotten better. Last year, top 20 player in baseball. But we remember how much he struggled early. If Willie Abreu was good right away. Rookie gold glove. But he was developed in the Astros system. Carlos Narvaez has been good right away. But he was developed in the Yankees system. So what is it about the Red Sox system where these guys might put up some good numbers in the minor leagues? They have all these measurables. They can clearly identify talent, but they're getting to the major leagues not ready to play baseball. And I think that's especially when you build your identity around the kids. And you can even look at the pitching staff. I mean, Houck was really good the first half of last year and then fell off. Brian Bello has been good lately, but his career so far has been a lot of ups and downs. And we saw in the month of May, he couldn't get out of the fifth inning. I mean, was he fully ready to go when he came up here? And again, that's like not every prospect is going to come in and be great right away. Most of them are going to have some ups and downs. But when you have a bunch of guys coming up on a consistent basis, year after year after year, not really ready to play baseball at the major league level, to me, that's a massive problem because you've built your identity around this. Let's go back to the phones here. We got Sean in Montana. Let's talk some Red Sox. Sean, welcome in.
Hello. Yeah, thank you so much for taking my call. I agree with a lot of things you've just said about the way this team is right now. I'm saying right now, season is over. I mean, this team just doesn't, you know, have it. You know, leaving men on base has been hurting them after the Devers trade. But I honestly think that this team was not at all happy going all the way back to spring training. We know it was because of Devers, but I had a feeling that, you know, something was going on with them that led to them not being focused on games and stuff. And, you know, you'd always think about this too, okay? Stop and think that every time the Red Sox would get to three games over 500, they couldn't move up. They just, it was the three-game-itis thing, and it's like, oh, let's go right back to start losing again. I mean, what a sad story this team is right now. And honestly, I don't believe a thing that Breslow is saying. There needs to be somebody who needs to be fired. I mean, they obviously need to fire Fatsy or Cora or Bailey. I mean, something I think needs to happen with this team immediately that will change them. And you were bringing up baseball for 26, but who knows if we'll have baseball for 27, because you all know MLB will be heading to a lockout in 2027.
Yeah, it's a good point. And thank you for the call. The lockout is something that's kind of just looming in the background, if you will. And yeah, again, I mean, I appreciated Breslow's honesty today, but I think it's a real concern. And Breslow himself, he's been here a couple of years. I've that Jeff Passan report, and there's been other reports. He's fired, what, 50 people in the baseball operations department? Did he fire the right people? Did he fire too many people? Right? Because, again, you have a lot of guys, and this is something that predates Breslow, I know. But you just have a lot of guys coming up to the major leagues not ready to play Major League Baseball. And I'm not talking about, oh, the first time they get up to bat and see a Major League pitcher throwing 100 miles an hour or 95 with movement and they struggle a little bit. That's understandable. I'm talking about running the bases, playing defense, right? Maybe being able to execute a hit and run properly. Like, there's just a lot of things that feels like these guys consistently can't do or significantly struggle to do when they get to the Major League level. And that Mariners-Rangers game, by the way, top of the 12th, no outs, runners on first and third. We'll see. So Seattle wins that game. The Red Sox will be three games out of the wild card. Of course, according to Sean in Montana, season's over anyway. And I wish I could dissuade him, but doesn't feel great. Shout out to our producer, Tom Crisafulli, today. Tom, how you doing, man?
I've been great, John. Be better if the Red Sox could play not even better, just consistent baseball, so I know what I'm getting when I turn on the TV or turn on the radio. I just don't get this team. Craig Breslow, he says he wants to buy at the deadline, but he's a guy that you can't trust with the amount of misunderstanding and mismessaging he sent out this past season. So far alone, recently, talking about Devers being a great hitter and a great asset, and then he trades them for a big league chew and a bag of balls, and then before that Rowan Anthony's not going to be the savior of the season. Well, now when you trade Devers, what is Anthony and the kids? What are they going to be? The savior of the team.
Yeah, and I think it's something that there's been a lot of pressure placed on those young guys. And Tom, by the way, recent college grad. Congrats to Tom on that. Maybe Tom will have you do one of those AI interviews for one of those entry-level positions with the Red Sox. You can report back to us how it goes.
I'll let you know. I am terrified of AI, though, so we'll see.
Yeah, you know what? It's not a bad fear to have, I guess. Yeah, there's a lot of uncertainty there. But that was Red Sox review for today. I wish it could have been a happier Red Sox review, but when you lose 7 out of 8 games and your starting pitcher has been the worst starting pitcher in the league throughout the month of June, unfortunately, it can't be that happy, Red Sox review. But we'll see if the Red Sox can maybe turn things around this week against the Cincinnati Reds. And old friend Terry Francona, that's tomorrow night. Garrett Crochet on the mound. I'm John Lyons for Tom Crisafulli. Thanks for listening. Thanks for calling. Have a great night.